From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, this is Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and today we're talking about salud, which means health.
You know, you can see our families in the eyes of our patients because they grew up here and kind of have the same challenges that they have in healthcare that our families had.
But salud also means cheers.
Salud.
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 Healthy practices, health policies, and a little bit of healthy fun, too. All this and more coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. No se vayan. Welcome to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, salud para ti. A change of pace is healthy. So we savor a bit of vino later in the show. And I visit my very first football game. I know. But first, our focus on some of the more serious aspects of health and health care.
So there's a lot that this law is already doing for Americans with insurance. And there is a lot more that is going to happen for folks who don't have insurance. But we've still got a lot of work to do in the coming months to make sure more Americans can buy affordable coverage. And with something as personal as healthcare, I realize there are people who are anxious, people who are nervous, making sure that we get this done right. So I'm here to tell you, I am 110% committed to getting it done right.
That's President Obama talking about, what else, Obamacare, or si prefieres, the Affordable Care Act, or ACA. On October 1st, state-based insurance marketplaces open, allowing the uninsured to shop for coverage broadly. But the anxiety the president talks about isn't just being felt by Republicans who'd like to defund it. There are lots of people worrying, the currently uninsured and those who can't afford health care even under the new rules. But this week, our newsroom was focused on the connection between stress, poverty, and health. It's an issue that's just getting decoded now by social scientists. Why are poorer people generally sicker? Is it lack of access to healthcare or education, or could it be genetic? Researchers have made a disturbing revelation, though. Poverty creates a type of stress that can affect our biology. Moises Velasquez-Manoff is a science writer, and he joins us to talk about this because you, Moises, write about the fact that there is stress with a small s, and then there's stress with a capital S. What is the difference between stress with a small s and stress with a capital S?
Scientists are trying to figure that out because that's the million-dollar question. But one of the main differences is whether you have some control over how you can react to the stressor. So if, say, your boss yells at you, there are ways you can deal with the boss yelling at you. You can go take a run after work. You can go complain about it with your family or your friends, let off some steam. And all those things actually help manage stress. Now, it seems that if you are poor, you lack some of those ways of dealing with stress. Basically, in a sense, the whole world is yelling at you when you're poor. We talk about this in terms of feeling, but what happens chronically is not just a feeling. Actually, your stress hormones go up and your immune system changes in ways that change the predisposition to heart disease, to various cancers, even to obesity, and possibly to dementia later in life.
So I love this notion, this image that you have. If you feel like the whole world is yelling at you, if you're able to yell back a little, that might mean one thing. But if the whole world is yelling at you and you're tiny, then you feel really powerless. And you're saying that this is essentially the stress of poverty.
you know, it's hard to even begin to quantify that in people, but they do studies in animals where they're not very nice studies, but where they, you know, they'll indiscriminately shock an animal, not so much that it really causes permanent injury, but that it's disturbing. And what they find is that animals can deal with being shocked as long as they have some control over how long the shock lasts.
So what happens if you experience this stress of, let's say, poverty and disenfranchisement when you're a child?
Scientists are finding they can still see the lingering mark of that early life stress decades later. And they see it in how your genes express. Some people seem to be completely resilient. You can do whatever you want to them and they still will triumph. They'll still rise. Other people are exactly the opposite. They're very sensitive. And a little bit of duress will destroy them. And some of that appears to be genetic, but it's the interaction of genes and environment that's what's important here.
So what does this particular kind of stress, this toxic stress, how does it impact Latinos?
Well, it's interesting because there is something called the Hispanic paradox, where immigrants from Latin American countries seem to be exempt from the rule of poverty correlating with poor health outcomes. But their children that are born in the United States follow the rule to a T. And, you know, scientists have noted this for a few decades now, and it's been very puzzling, but also possibly very revealing, because one of the theories, and I should point out that this is still very controversial, because it's hard to rule out things like, well, only healthy people immigrate. So you're getting a naturally self-selected group of healthy people.
And if you're too poor to even think about moving, then that means you're not going anywhere as well.
And another possibility is that if you're sick, you may go back home. But it doesn't seem that those factors explain this phenomenon entirely. And so one of the possible explanations that's come to the fore recently is, well, Latin immigrants, they smoke less. That's almost half of the difference in life expectancy and health outcomes. The explanation that I find intriguing is that you still have some of the old coping mechanisms from the old country, in a sense, that help you cope with the negative consequences of being low ranking and in some ways powerless in this country. You know, in some ways, living in an ethnic enclave in El Barrio is healthy. That's what they're finding. It's not just for Hispanics, for groups from Asia as well.
Are you saying that scientists are really studying this?
They are really studying this. And one way that you retain the beneficial aspects of your culture is by not eating fast food.
All right, well, I'll just go for my regular popcorn made with oil and dark chocolate. Not too bad, right?
I'm sure popcorn is fine.
Moises, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much for having me.
Moises Velázquez-Manoff writes about science and health. Now, let's talk about Latinas. Reproductive health is one area where the new healthcare laws are expected to have a strong, measurable effect. Most health plans will now be required to cover all types of contraception. Some experts are hoping that this could solve a big problem among young Latinas, which is access. Our producer, Daisy Rosario, spoke with teen pregnancy experts about the recent numbers and ad campaigns and why access for Latinas is key.
Over 87% of Latinos think it's important for teens to avoid getting pregnant. That's according to a poll released earlier this year by Planned Parenthood. They surveyed over 1,100 Latinos and Latinas ages 18 to 92 around the U.S. If you agree that teen pregnancy is a big concern, then Bill Albert with the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy has something that you should hear.
Well, the overwhelming good news is that the teen birth rate is now at a historic low in the United States. It is down nationally. It is down in all 50 states. It's down among all racial ethnic groups. But what's particularly encouraging is that in the past 5 years, the progress has been best among Latino teens.
And how does that happen?
I like to call it the magic formula of less sex and more contraception.
Albert says that teens are waiting longer to have sex, and when they do, they're having fewer partners and they're using contraception. But here's the thing. Despite these numbers, Latinas still have the highest rates of teen pregnancy.
My name is Jessica Gonzalez Rojas, and I'm the executive director of the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health.
So I asked her, why is this happening? Are we having more sex?
So what we find through studies and research is Latina teens don't have different sexual behavior than young white teens. We're not having sex more often. The challenge is that we don't have access to contraception or some of the information and tools.
Access, both in terms of information and contraception. But where do teens get this information? The last few years have seen a number of ad campaigns in various cities aimed at reducing teen pregnancy. New York City launched a particularly controversial one earlier this year.
So there was one ad that said, "Honestly, Mom, chances are he won't stay with you. What about me?"
She says that this presents two problems.
It really blamed the mom, and that it also let men off the hook. Any conversations about sex and sexuality and health need to incorporate all young people, not just young women.
Gonzalez Rojas was one of many who criticized the New York campaign for using shaming language. The city stood by the ads, pointing out their many social programs. But Gonzalez Rojas still takes issue.
There are a lot of really great programs in New York City, but it didn't really link people to those programs. And some of the games said things like, "I'll look huge in my prom dress. My BFF called me a fat loser at prom."
For her, the real problem remains, again, access.
Many young Latinas are actually barred from enjoying that right because they're either low income or they're undocumented or they don't speak their language and can't navigate the United States healthcare system.
7 years ago in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the United Way launched what has so far been a successful campaign. Now, at first, they also faced criticism about the tone of their ads. Nicole Angrisano of the United Way of Greater Milwaukee says,
The public awareness campaign is the most obvious piece, and it's wonderful and it's bold, but it's one piece of a much broader strategy.
It was important for them to convey where teens could get access.
Here's where you can learn more about how to delay pregnancy. Here's who to talk to if you're feeling pressured by your partner to have sex against your will. Here's how to get your parents involved in the conversation.
Angrisano says their real success was based in the way that they integrated the whole community.
You have to meet communities where they are. How do we approach that topic in a way that stays within cultural or religious appropriateness for certain communities?
This summer, Chicago began using the same print ads Milwaukee used. Angrisano was quick to point out that while they are honored that other cities are looking to their campaign, she hopes that they remember to do the work on the ground as well. Bill Albert from the National Campaign agrees, but wants people to remember that the work is far from over.
If we are going to continue to make progress, we really have to press for and embrace messages and interventions that are as diverse as our country is.
All three experts I spoke with had high hopes that the Affordable Care Act could increase the access to healthcare and ultimately contraception and information that teens need. The question now is, will young Latinas understand the ACA and how to get access to healthcare itself? For Latino USA, I'm Daisy Rosario.
Coming up on Latino USA, a segment we've been contando los días, counting the days to bring to you, we talked to two of our favorite funny guys.
The culture and everything Hispanic is getting more fashionable.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
that's great.
It really
I'm
is.
Glad things are picking up for us finally.
Stay with us. No se vayan. Thank you. Welcome back to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And you probably know Al Madrigal from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And you might know Lalo Alcaraz from Pocho.com and as a longtime friend of Latino USA. Well, we're excited to say that these two funny, smart Latinos will be doing a recurring segment on our show about their particular take on the news. Here's the premiere of Al and Lalo.
Thank you, Maria. I'm Al Madrigal from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, sitting with my good friend
Lalo Alcaraz, creator of La Cucaracha and Pocho.com.
Here with a Latino USA segment we like to call Latinos from the
Future, Future, Future,
Future. Lalo, who's your favorite Canadian?
Of all time, or from this segment? Because I don't know. Name some famous Canadians.
I love all the SCTV folks. So you have Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, John Candy, Martin Short, one of the funniest people of all time.
That's right.
Catherine O'Hara. You can keep going. All of our famous. Norm Macdonald is hilarious. As a comedian, there are quite a few funny, awesome Canadian comics. That's who I'd go to.
Dudley Do-Right.
Hilarious. But you, I know, are a big Ted Cruz fan.
I just love Ted Cruz. We both love Ted Cruz. Can't get enough of the guy.
Actually, if you go to my Twitter, at Al Madrigal, it's his Daily Show, Oddball Comedy Festival, Ted Cruz 2016. That's all I'm about. And he is making that push. But you may be president. This is going to be our next president. There's no doubt.
Sure, of course. He's got the Canadian birth certificate to prove it.
That's not going to hold him back.
No.
Because, you know, he's doing so much to help African Americans and Latinos.
And you wouldn't think so. You're right. He's claiming that Obamacare is hurting blacks and Latinos and that he's working to help them. By repealing it.
It's going to come out and Ted Cruz is going to help us along that Barack Obama, you'd think this wouldn't be the case, hates African Americans.
That's right.
And he's trying to hold them down with this damn Obamacare.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite quote from our buddy Ted here. It's going to take a tsunami. And I'm going to do everything I can to encourage that tsunami.
Oh, wow. Even his own Republican Party is saying you are on a suicide mission to attack Obamacare because it's starting to become more popular. 66% of Latinos like Obamacare, and actually 32% of Latinos are uninsured. So they're going to benefit a lot from it.
I think the tsunami thing is funny too because that analogy – my friend – I was actually in that Malaysian tsunami.
I know.
And he had to hold – two kids in his arms in the water. And then if he was going to die, he had to let one of the kids go.
Oh, my God.
So I think that's a great analogy to use.
Every time I think of Ted Cruz, I'm going to think of
dying
that.
Because that's
choice of life or death.
Sofia Vergara's in the news.
Oh, my good friend Sofia Vergara.
You guys, buddy, what do you guys do?
I call her Sofia for short.
Yeah. And what do? You barbecue on the weekends?
We hang out all the time. Our families, she has a family? Yeah, her families get together. And she's great.
She's awesome.
She's spicy.
She is also honored to be Latino.
Really?
Yes.
Is this actual breaking news?
Yeah. Wow. Colombian actress Sofia Vergara, the star of hit television series Modern Family, said in an exclusive interview with F.A. That's where I get all my news, by the way. Yeah. I go to F.A. Yeah. Can't get enough of
it. I love it.
Said that her international success has been due to her Latino roots.
Really?
Yes.
It's been a plus, huh?
Yes, it is.
A benefit.
It makes me very proud to be Latino. Although now Latinos, the culture and everything Hispanic is getting more fashionable.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's great. Really, I'm glad things are picking up for us finally.
She is doing great.
500 years.
The reality is that we know that being Latino, having those values of family, unity, working ability, mm-hmm. delight in moving forward, and that joy identifies us, it's something divine.
I'm always dancing, Al. I don't know about you.
I always love that when they say Latinos love family. Mm-hmm. They love food.
and music.
Yeah, like, unlike all other people.
Yeah,
yes, no one else. We're Latinos have food, family, and music.
We're also the top breathers.
Yes.
Love breathing.
Lalo, now I understand you're a big fan of not just Sofia Vergara, not just Ted Cruz.
No.
But also, you believe illegal immigrants should have driver's licenses.
Yes, I believe in calling them undocumented immigrants also.
Undocumented immigrants.
That's right, and they should be documented drivers.
But Lalo, what about the fact when I'm driving?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be hit by an illegal, undocumented immigrant. I mean, what am I going to do? They never have insurance. I am against this.
Yeah, well, they need to go to work with a license so that when they hit you and when they have insurance, you can find out who they are and what insurance company is going to take care of you. Instead of you having to have uninsured motorists, we insure everybody.
So you're saying, what you're telling me is that all of these undocumented workers.
Yes.
Undocumented immigrants.
Yes.
Are driving anyway.
Well, not the paisas on the bicycles.
Not the men on kids' bikes.
Yes, that's right. The guys.
But you're saying when I see older Latina woman driving a dented minivan.
Yes.
With some vacuum cleaners and cleaning supplies in the back.
That's right.
That lady, right, doesn't have a driver's license. And she also subsequently doesn't have insurance.
Right.
And we want her to have a driver's license and insurance.
That's right, because she is not going to go on the bus with all her cleaning supplies. She's going to take that van and drive to her job because her kids got to eat. And it is my philosophy is, hey, why not safen up the roads and let them drive legally and safely?
But would this be good for our economy?
Immigrants will continue to add even more money to the economy. And to the state coffers by paying their DMV fees also.
That'd be amazing. And we know we could use the money.
That's right. I would like them to pay me directly. That would be nice.
This has been Al Madrigal and
Lalo Alcaraz
for Latino USA.
That was Al Madrigal from The Daily Show and Lalo Alcaraz, political cartoonist and creator of Pocho.com. They'll be back again with us next month. Let us know your thoughts about Al and Lalo at Latino USA on Facebook or find us on Twitter or Tumblr. Continuing with our theme for this week, we've been thinking about some of the issues that the new healthcare legislation does not address, such as what happens in communities that have few, if any, healthcare facilities around, which is the case in one corner of Alameda County in Northern California. A group of youth in that area made the connection between issues like gang violence, teen pregnancy, and not having a place for young people to spend time and make healthy choices. They worked for a solution for a decade, and it's finally paying off. Here's Emily Wilson with our report.
East 14th Street at 163rd in the community of Ashland. In the cafe, kids sip smoothies. In the library, they read or play cards. A list of the day's activities hangs by the front desk. There's yoga, art, sewing, job counseling, and a hip-hop class.
Think about landing on your feet. So you're going to jump up and land on your right foot. One.
Still looking for something to do? There's about 30,000 square feet of things to do here. A dance studio, a gym, a computer lab, an art room, a recording studio, a game room, and a health and dental clinic. Welcome to the Reach Ashland Youth Center. It's where 17-year-old Corvette Lopez spends her time.
Not many people really realize that some youth need, I would say, not direction, but somewhere to be.
And that's exactly what they didn't have. This place used to be a car lot.
9 years ago, when young people were asked, you know, why aren't you involved in some positive programs? Why aren't you involved in some after-school programs? Their response was always, what after-school programs?
Pedro Naranjo is the center's executive director. He says instead of programs, there were problems. Problems usually associated with a poor urban area, but without the resources of a big city. Deja Crozier saw this too.
I felt unsafe walking around my community. I felt like
I was not in a safe place and that I had to watch my every move. If I did something wrong, that I might not survive anything. Like, it was an intense feeling that I felt, yeah, it did need to be fixed.
She was on the case before she was even 10.
If you see something, you have to go for it. You can't just sit around and wait, because if everyone's sitting around waiting, then we're stuck and nothing's going to be solved.
Deja belonged to a youth group in a low-income housing complex in the neighborhood. The kids got to work. They surveyed hundreds of people to show the need for youth activities here. Since the area is unincorporated, there's no mayor or city council to talk to. So the kids showed up at county supervisor meetings. 22-year-old Lamont Thompson was one of them.
Teenagers who would normally be, you know, at the mall or spending their Friday nights at the movies, you know what I'm saying? They're spending they after school, you know, hanging out with their friends. They was getting out of school and coming straight to these meetings. Getting out of school and going to four-hour meetings.
We just kept on going. We're like, you know, we're going to be here every time. We're going to be fighting until you guys say okay.
They kept at it for 9 years until Alameda County's supervisors voted unanimously to give the project $23 million in community redevelopment funds. The Reach Ashland Youth Center was born. Maybe nobody was more inspired than the youth group's leader, Hillary Bass.
I was jaded already at 24. And now at 33, I feel much more hopeful. Like, things are really possible if you're organized and you have the right intentions and you're diligent. The kids, I can't imagine they feel different. I think that we all had the same experience at the same time. I was just, you know, several years older than them.
Of course, says Deja Crozier, the kids didn't get everything.
I really wanted a butterfly room, but only because I felt like kids should have a place where they can go and they can just feel like they're kids again.
There may not be a room full of fluttering monarchs, but overall, it's not too bad. For Latino USA, I'm Emily Wilson in Alameda County, California.
Elsewhere in California, in the San Joaquin Valley, there is another issue that the Affordable Health Care Act leaves out. In many rural communities, there's a shortage of doctors that's acute and getting worse. Lisa Morehouse reports now on a program to get more doctors into Valley communities, and she brings us a couple of doctors who have built a medical legacy there.
In 1999, in the tiny town of Five Points, 29 farm workers accidentally entered a field that had just been treated with dangerous organophosphate insecticides. There were three hospitals closer, but they were taken 50 miles to a small clinic in the farming town of Firebaugh, run by Drs. Marsha and Oscar Sablon.
We have seen a lot of other cases, and so we were familiar with the symptoms, and we knew what to do. So we made sure that we had lots of atropine.
A drug used to treat poison victims if they go into respiratory or cardiac arrest. To keep all the patients hydrated, they hung IVs from nails they stuck in the walls. The farm workers stripped and lined up to rinse the pesticides off in the clinic shower built just for this type of incident. But with so many patients, Oscar Sablon recruited help.
That's when the firemen here in town were able to get a kiddie pool and just at least wash the people down.
The labor contractor in charge brought his crew to this clinic because he was a patient of the Sablons and he trusted them.
He knew that he could come here. He knew that we would take care of him. Mm-hmm. So he brought those 29 people over here.
Patients have relied on the Sablons for over 30 years, since the couple moved to Firebaugh as young physicians. Like those pesticide accident victims, almost 75% of their patients are farm workers.
Let's go see Gloria's x-ray here.
It's del año pasado.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Marsha, as her patients call her, reviews x-rays with a woman who's worked in cantaloupe fields for 30 years. This patient has chronic laryngitis and no insurance. The Sablons negotiate the Medi-Cal labyrinth or, through a private system, charge a low sliding fee, searching drug company samples for appropriate medications and referring low-income patients to just the right nearby specialists is all in a day's work. Another patient, 95-year-old Mayreen Williams, raves about Dr. Oscar.
He saved my life several times.
Williams says she moved to Fireball from Oklahoma in the 1930s and picked cotton and cut corn. She trusts Sablon with managing her complicated blood condition, and she won't see another doctor unless he makes the referral. That familiarity doesn't just come from house calls and clinic visits.
More like folks. They come to your house, and I used to give a big Easter egg hunt on Easter. They came out with their children.
Being small-town doctors means the Sablons don't just serve the community, they're part of it. They're focused on the overall health of patients. So besides putting in long hours at the clinic, Oscar's served on Fireball's school board close to 20 years, and Marcia's been on the city council over 30, working to improve housing and infrastructure.
We thought that only being part of the town could they get a healthy sewer and water system and a building improvement. I think that's been an overriding thing for me is the built environment, how important that is to people's health.
This long-term commitment to a community makes the Sablons an exception. Patient Rosie Gomez says other small towns in the valley struggle to hang on to new doctors who come from out of the region.
But once they've gained their skills, they leave. And they take their skills with them. You know, they'll practice on you, if you will, but they don't stay.
Gomez says she can't picture Fireball without the Sablons practicing medicine.
I mean, they're human just like we are. They get older and they're going to want to retire one day, and who can blame them? But the thing is, who replaces them?
Go ahead, now the other side. Go ahead and take your foot and tap in the air like you're keeping time to fast music. Good. And
maybe one of these five medical students an hour away in Fresno. They gather in a small hospital room learning how to give neurological exams. A unique program called San Joaquin Valley Prime selects and trains medical students to practice in the valley. It's a collaboration between three University of California campuses. All of the students either hail from the valley or have ties to it. Christina Thabit grew up in Bakersfield.
We're learning on the population we hopefully want to work with in the future. You know, you can see our families in the eyes of our patients because they grew up here and kind of have the same challenges that they have in healthcare that our families had.
Like access to great care. She remembers her grandfather, a dairy farmer, having a hard time getting appointments for cardiology and diabetes care. When he did, he had to drive over 1 hour one way.
We recommend that at a bed, there's no milk, no juices, nothing like that. Because is he getting teeth yet?
Once a week, Thabit's at this clinic in the rural town of Selma, seeing patients while being supervised by medical faculty.
Pacifier is okay.
The other day, she's at a Fresno hospital. Thabit says she's working harder than she ever imagined, but she knows she chose the right program.
The clinical experience, the education, and the fact that I'm home, I mean, that's my ideal medical school. There was no better fit for me.
Now in its third year, San Joaquin Valley Prime will pick about six students a year to train. This alone won't solve the physician shortage, but back at the Sablons Clinic, patient Rosie Gomez says each medical student could have a real impact on a community like Fireball.
We're humble people, but we have medical needs. And honestly, for some of these kids to have their light bulb go on and say, you know what? The Sablons made a difference. I can make a difference here too.
Those running San Joaquin Valley Prime hope its success could lead to the creation of a full medical school in the valley soon. For Latino USA, I'm Lisa Morehouse in the San Joaquin Valley.
Coming up on Latino USA, expanding my sports horizons at a soccer game. Yes, my very first. Stay with us on Latino USA. No se vayan. Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and I have a confession to make. The truth is, I've never been a jock. In spite of loving exercise, which I do all the time, I've never been into sports. Because any sport that involved a ball usually meant that I got hit with the ball, so I avoided it. But I decided, hey, why not try and stretch my brain? Try to understand a world that I, for whatever reason, just hadn't delved into. So I went to see a soccer game.
We are at Hofstra University, where the Cosmos, the New York Cosmos, are playing against the Atlanta Silverbacks. Oh my God, I can't believe I got that right. All I know about soccer, having never seen a game, is that you have to get the ball into the goal, and you can't use your hands.
If you're the goalie,
you can use your hands.
Cesar Diaz met up with me. He writes about soccer at thisiscosmoscountry.com, and he's editor-in-chief at latinosports.com. My daughter, Jurema, came with us, along with producer A.C. Valdez, who did his very best to prep me.
You were saying that there are these things that happen in a soccer game, and I have to learn some songs.
Yeah, you gotta learn some chants and some songs. Okay. I'll teach you the first one. It's a real basic one. Ole, 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 ole.
I know that one.
Ole, ole, ole. Ole.
Oh, whoops.
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, ole.
I loved the energy as we arrived at the game. There was singing and chanting and shouting. But before heading up to the stands, we noticed a little play area outside of the stadium. Here's Cesar again.
With this team, seeing that it's more like it's in Division II starting up, it's more like they're trying to focus on community.
We're looking over in a little area here, and you have like a little soccer practice spot out here. What? Like, would you see that at a baseball game where you would have an area where kids could be like batting up and stuff like that, or at a basketball game, or no?
I don't want to say no, but I have it. You know, in all the years that I've gone to the Knicks or the Yankees, I haven't seen it.
What you're saying is that here, it's all about getting the kids to play. It's not just about get inside and watch the game and sit down. It's about play a little bit, be with your family, and then go in and sit, watch the game.
Absolutely. I mean, for a lot of games nowadays, I mean, families are going to spend at least $100 or more, and that's just on tickets.
Pretty soon, we got out to the field, and it was clear that you got a bang for your buck.
Oh, my God. We're like so close.
Yeah, we're right
there.
This
is crazy.
And that's where we're going.
I have never been so close to a field. Like in baseball, unless you're super wealthy, you never get this close to the field. Same thing in terms of basketball. You never get this close to the field. I could touch it.
And now, let's meet the starting 11 for your New York Cosmos. The captain, defender number 4, Carlos Mendez.
Oh, yeah. And did I mention the fans?
My daughter just asked the question of why this is being sung in Spanish. Spanish.
As soon as I arrived, I realized that this place was pretty much dominated by brown faces. Many in the audience were Latinos. The supporters section was this group of ragtag guys banging drums, waving Cosmos flags, dressed in green and singing in Spanish and in English, accompanied by an impromptu batucada.
That is so cute. They're so ragtaggedy, you know? It's like they're just like, we're gonna do this. They have great energy, though. One of the things that you like, Cesar, is that in that support section, you like seeing the fact that there's a collaboration and a cross-cultural something that's going on. That it's Latinos, Spanish speakers, non-Spanish speakers. That's what you see in that support section.
Well, I also see, you know, a lot of them are, I consider them like friends, and as well as family for that matter, you know what I mean? It's, you know, being first generation American, I get the best of both worlds because I have my American supporters, but then I also have my cultural supporters.
It was enough energy to get us through an hour and a half long game.
So it's 19 minutes in and it's 0-0. And when are they going to score?
They may not score tonight for all we know. I mean, we're only in the first half.
I mean, is this normal that you're like 20 minutes in and nobody has scored? Is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've been to games where no goals were scored, and if both teams don't score after the full time, then it's just a draw.
That's not to say there wasn't plenty of drama. This is the world's most popular sport for a reason. And gradually, my reactions went from...
Every time they hit it with their heads, I freak out. I'm a mother.
Yeah, look at it. With a lot of these players, a ball is sometimes coming 70 to 80, even 90 miles an hour. So to take that...
No, I don't know why they would. I think it's bad. I'm sorry.
Two... The Cosmos scored! And, well, there were also some rough calls.
Oh! Did you see the save by the goalkeeper from
that
Atlanta?
That was amazing!
And finally, Atlanta scored to tie things up. Now, at this point, I experienced something I never expected. The tension was killing me.
Come on, let's get the ball in and let's go for one more play.
Man, I can't believe I just said that.
And in spite of the fact that I'm still not comfortable with a professional game that ends up in a tie, I did have a lot of fun. And I tried something new. And what could be better for your health than that? Except for maybe a little vino.
When you have the proper glassware and the proper temperature, the proper setting for that wine is gonna enhance the experience of drinking that wine.
That's Alex Sotelo, a vintner or winemaker from California's famed Napa Valley, where he grows a spicy, zesty Zinfandel. No small feat considering that the Mexican native started out as a farm worker in the vineyards. Latino USA producer Diana Montaño caught up with Alex Sotelo at the Summit Wine and Food Festival in Summit, New Jersey.
Winemaking is the transpression of art, science, and a way of living.
When Alex Sotelo arrived in California from Zacatecas, Mexico, 22 years ago, he fell so in love with the art and science of winemaking that he launched his own label in 2002.
Most of the challenges that I face early on in my career is that a lot of people will come to me and expect a non-Latino in directing a project. Then it was even worse to hear that I was Mexican. So yes, if you're Latino, probably Spanish or Argentina, Chilean, maybe, right? But not Mexican.
Despite the challenges, his wines have become respected by connoisseurs who know Napa Valley wine, including Ivan Ruiz, the founder of the Summit Festival.
There is two kinds of wines that are very difficult to make. One is Pinot Noir, and the second one is a Zinfandel. And Alex Sotelo is Mr. Zinfandel in California. I don't think there is any other winemaker that have more skill than he does.
The night's gala dinner pairs a local chef with a selected wine. Ivan explains the art of pairing.
When it works, it's like a perfect marriage. It is very difficult. So to get to that perfection in food and wine, it really takes a lot.
The meat, it has all these rich flavors, and the wine, with the fruit and the tannins, the acid will be able to actually come in and put more flavor, but on top of it, cut down on a bit on the greasiness that will have the plate and keep your palate fresh and going. But also, running the potatoes, running the mushrooms, bring the juices into it that make it very elegant, very complex, very appealing to have a good bottle of wine. And actually worked perfectly with my 2006 Syrah.
And in a room full of wine experts, you get some, well, as Ivan puts it,
I'm a wine geek.
They even get down to talking about wine glass size and shape. Neil Rodriguez, the wine director for the festival.
Glasses do affect the flavor of wines in ways that are very profound. Mostly because, you know, the human tongue only really tastes six flavors. Everything else is through your nose, I mean, through aromas. So it stands to reason that if the shape of the glass amplifies the aromas of the wine is going to taste more intense.
Summit, New Jersey is a fairly wealthy white suburb. But here, Latinos are leading the way.
We want to show the world out there that we're passionate about what we do. And you don't have to be American, you don't have to be French, you don't have to be Italian. It has to come within inside of you. And we all speak with very thick accents, all of us, but we have a passion for. And when we walk to a room, people have a lot of respect for us.
And Alex Sotelo says Mexican involvement in California wine is a given.
Many years back, actually, talking to someone that has this wonderful wine shop in Washington, D.C., he was in shock, like talking to me and say, really, you're a Mexican? You're a Mexican in the Napa Valley? That's odd. I said, well, next time you come to the Napa Valley, just look through the back door. Just to stop at the vineyards and talk to the people. And you'll find that the majority of the people in the industry will be Mexicans. So next time you open up a bottle of wine, Napa bottle of wine, you gotta think that a lot of Mexican hands touch the process of making the bottle.
Salud.
Salud. Salud.
Salud.
Maybe you can hear this.
For Latino USA, I'm Diana Montaño.
Do you know any Latinos making good wine or healthy food? Tell us about them on Facebook or on our Twitter, where we are Latino USA.
A su salud, a su salud, a su salud, brindemos por la verdad. A su salud, a su salud, a su salud, brindemos por la verdad.
And now, a couch potato break. We've been watching the Latino Americans TV series on PBS. It's a three-part documentary that's gotten a lot of people talking, both here in our own newsroom and online, where we've been following your tweets and your Facebook posts. Our producer and social media diva, Brenda Salinas, yes, you're a diva, Brenda, has been live tweeting the first two installments, and she's joining us now to share some of your reactions. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, I love that I'm a diva.
You're a diva, sweetie. Okay, so tell me, what has it been like to live tweet this historic series?
It's been really fun. History is usually this thing that's static, and here we are talking about it as if it were happening in real time. People from all over the country have been live tweeting.
What have they been saying?
Right at the beginning, this woman, she made me crack up. Her name is Lucero Saldana. She tweeted, "No one bother me. Latino Americans is on."
I'm watching history. Do not bother me. I love that.
Then it kind of moved on to people talking about how this is a history that they hadn't learned. Scott Skinner says, "How did I grow up in Southern Arizona and not know so much of this stuff? I'm happy to be less ignorant now. Thank you."
Wow, that's really fascinating. That kind of like, thanks for doing this.
And I'm going to show you a picture. People are actually taking screenshots of the TV and putting it online. That's how excited everybody was.
The fact that they're kind of, you know, taking these photographs of Latino historians and posting them, it's kind of like, wow, it's fascinating.
It really is. And a lot of people had very emotional responses. This woman named Candy Olivares tweeted, "No dogs, no Negroes, no Mexicans. This breaks my heart."
Was there anything in the documentary that just essentially blew up on social media?
So apparently Puerto Ricans in New York would have rent parties where they would charge for the partygoers if they could contribute. And in one weekend, they could make up the whole rent. And people were just like, why can't, this is the best idea ever. I need to do this weekend.
We used to go to rent parties when I was living in New York at first. So it was like, yeah, it was a rent party.
But why do people not have them anymore? It's great. People like Patty Cordova were saying, rent parties, I say we bring them back. Thanks, Latino Americans, for the idea. So maybe we'll have some rent parties popping up.
If people are live tweeting throughout, do you feel like you need to say, okay, you were live tweeting throughout, now watch it a second time where you're just focusing on the content and you're not thinking about posting everything?
I think there's an argument for that, but there's also, you get this shot of adrenaline as you're seeing what everybody is doing. And that feeling that you're not watching TV in a vacuum, that all these other people are watching it with you and they're just as excited and they're learning just as much. I think that's really powerful.
All right. Well, thank you for being our social media diva, Brenda. We appreciate it at Latino USA.
Always. It's really fun.
You can tweet along with Brenda. Just use the hashtag LatinoPBS as you're watching the final part this week. And finally, we hope you know we're also looking out for your salud. So here's a little sabiduría, or words of wisdom, from author, journalist, filmmaker, and boxer Raquel Cepeda. She let us know how boxing improves not only her physical health, but also her mental and spiritual health as well.
I've been here for almost 3 years, but 10 months of that was pregnant, and then 4 months of it was off. So altogether, maybe like a year and change. I was here until I was 9 months and 3 days pregnant. And I would come here and box, and then I would walk down to the writer's room and write until I was exhausted and come back and do the same thing every day until I was asked to leave. There you have it. I'm not trying to hit the heavy bag so hard. I'm just trying to get my footwork and my follow through the right way. I do 3 rounds of this. I do uppercuts. This is the uppercut bag, yeah. You see the uppercut. To me, it's been very spiritually fulfilling because it helps you sweat. And when you push your body to the limit, you almost thank a higher being for allowing you to do something that you didn't know you could do with your body. It just helps you with your timing. Yeah, with your rhythm, your timing, because everything in there is all about timing and rhythm. That's why Kevin looks. And for me, part of developing good character is learning how to be strategic. And boxing, for me, is the best way to do that. I feel very free when I'm in the ring, and I feel very free when I'm on the floor because I know I have control of myself. And I know that, you know, if I can push my body to the outer limits here, then I walk without boundaries. I feel very boundless.
Raquel Cepeda's latest book is Bird of Paradise, How I Became Latina. It's available now in paperback. And one of these days, I promise to go in the ring with Raquel to face one of my own greatest fears as a chaparra or a shorty, and that's getting hit. Mis queridos listeners, I hope you heard this show in good health and buena salud, maybe with a copita de vino. And I hope you join us again next week. Our show is produced by Carolina Gonzalez, AC Valdez, Lita Hartman, Michael Simon Johnson, Diana Montaño, Daisy Rosario, Brenda Salinas, and Michael Jones. Nadia Raymond is our music consultant. We had additional engineering this week from Stephanie LeBeau and Brendan Baker. Our intern is Avery Truffleman. Our show was founded at the University of Texas at Austin, and I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week on air or on podcast. And in the meantime, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And you can check out my own Instagram at Maria_La_Hinojosa. See you again next week.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, dedicated to achieving a more just and equitable society for all, and the Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide, and the California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional. More at lumberliquidators.com. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.